Welcome back to In the Moment. We're broadcasting live this week from the Black Hills Bureau in downtown Rapid City. With me, we have Jared McIntaffer. He joins South Dakota Dashboard and Black Hills Knowledge Network as a project director and regional economist. Numbers don't lie, but the analysis and interpretation is important, right, Jared?
That's correct. Thank you for having me out.
Well, thanks so much for being here. Tell us a little bit about your role at South Dakota Dashboard and Black Hills Knowledge Network.
Well, so my role, I came on as the new project director here, is the Black Hills Knowledge Network and the South Dakota Dashboard they're evolving and they're growing, and it's really kind of an exciting time. Originally, we started off as a sort of an organization that networked with local libraries, and we worked with journalists to kind of provide a resource and a sort of a digital archive of everything that was going on in local communities here. And that was the beginning of the Black Hills Knowledge Network. And the South Dakota Dashboard is an outgrowth over the last few years that's focused on data provision. So collecting data about communities and the state and the Black Hills region, population, demographics, jobs, health. And we've sort of built an amazing sort of website where we make all of that data accessible to anyone free of charge. So it's all updated, we've got great graphics and visualizations of the data, and it's all there for free.
All right, so is your role part of the data interpretation, or are you helping gather the data? What's your job there?
So what we've noticed and what's really exciting is that once we started collecting all this data and putting it out there, naturally people started coming to us and saying, well, what does this mean? Right? How can we use this to make good decisions, right? Good strategic decisions at the city level, school board, statewide. How can businesses use this kind of information to plan for the future? And once we started getting more and more interest there, and we noticed there's a real demand for that, we decided that it would be a good time to bring in somebody from the outside. And so that's really what I came in as, is I'm an economist. I grew up in South Dakota. I have real ties to the area and wanted to come back for a while. And so when I found or heard that there was an opportunity for me to come back and do what I do and providing real authoritative economic analysis and stuff like that and providing advice to community leaders and business leaders, I jumped on it. And that's what my role is now. That's what we're trying to build.
So let's talk a little bit about jobs and workforce development. That's a key interest of yours. Give me an overview of what sort of numbers you're looking at now and the signs that you're seeing about the Black Hills economy.
Well, one of the things that I find really encouraging, so just yesterday here in town, Marsha Holtman, she's the Secretary of Labor in the state, and she was here kind of giving a talk about what they do at the Department of Labor and Regulation and some of the data that they're looking at and some of the things they're seeing. And one thing that she talked about, which I found very interesting and encouraging, is that they're noticing and we're noticing an increase in migration. So more people are moving to the state than we typically have. And it's not just retirees. We're getting a lot of people in the sort of 30 to 40 year old demographic that are moving to the state, and they're moving here for jobs. And we're getting a lot of engineers moving back to the state. We're getting a lot of financial professionals and the occasional economist as well, sort of moving back and driving some of that job growth in the knowledge economy, which is just really exciting. Yeah. And when I was getting my PhD, I didn't really see that opportunity. And what's great is that South Dakota economy and workforce is evolving. And now those opportunities are here. And we're creating more jobs for professionals.
Is there a sense of why those 30 to 40-year-olds are coming right now? Is it because there are more jobs, or are they kind of creating them as entrepreneurs and folks with vision that they just want to live in the state, live in the region, and they've come up with a unique way to do that? Or are companies recruiting them and trying to get folks to come back? What are your thoughts?
Well, right now, I know a lot of it is jobs recruiting people. I'm not sure to what extent the entrepreneurship factor is there. I know it's going to be there to some extent, and it's only going to grow more. But right now, yeah, we are seeing businesses in the state being more willing to recruit out of state. and going after, you know, South Dakotans that left, and maybe after they went to college or thought they had to leave to make their make a living in life, and we're trying to bring them back.
What drew you back? Just what do you love about this place that you really were looking for an opportunity to come back here? And what? Why did you leave? Let's start with why you left in the first place. Did you not feel that you could get your education? Could you not get your education that you wanted to pursue right here in the state? Did you have to go out of state, or did you just want to?
No, so I'm very proud to say I'm an SDSU grad, economics and German major. Had a great time there. For grad school, yeah, I left. I actually went to the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. And got that's where I got my PhD in economics. And it really was for me that when I was graduating and looking around, there just weren't a lot of opportunities. For an economist like me, the opportunities are kind of limited to the universities, right? And they're not always hiring every year. And so when I was looking out, there just weren't any job openings. And that's why I had to leave. I had to leave in order to find work. Sure. You got to pay those student loans back, you know.
Right.
And I spent the last couple of years in Pennsylvania. I was teaching at Penn State. And once I saw this opportunity, I had to jump at it because this is just a really great organization. They're doing some really exciting work, and the chance to come back and sort of grow it and give back a little bit and enjoy the state that I grew up in was a great opportunity.
What are the smart questions that South Dakotans need to ask? You know, sometimes you sit down with someone who has a PhD as an economist, and you say, well, what do we even ask? How do we look at that data and use it in business, use it in policy making? What are the numbers that we need to know, and what are the smart questions?
Wow, that's tough. So the smart thing, I always think, is to evaluate the playing field. And that's, I think, the main thing that the dashboard is providing, that service the dashboard is providing, is that so often, I think, in South Dakota, we've got a real strong gut, right? So we look at the world and we've got a gut feeling about this is good or this is bad. And that's that's a good quality. But smart decisions are made by not just going with your gut, but informing your gut. And so what the dashboard does is it's providing all of that economic, population, health outcome information. And it's our job then to go to individual businesses or individual governments, city governments, and say, what's the specific problem, right? Because each problem is different. You've got to approach each problem and each question differently. The smart questions, I think, are pretty fundamental and basic. It's sort of how can we create a foundation and a system that'll develop on its own? Because it's really a bad idea to try and direct things too much, to micromanage too much. You want to create a system where the economy and the jobs and the business community can develop organically, right? And so creating sort of that bedrock, that foundation, is really where I think the important investment is.
So one of the gut reaction feelings I've noticed this week around Rapid City and neighboring communities in the Black Hills is people have said, you know, the cost of living is a little high here. Mm-hmm. Is that true? Is that do the numbers back that up, or is that just the pressure that everybody in America feels of not being able to always make the ends meet? Is the cost of living high out here? And then if so, how does that impact the overall economy for job recruitment?
So that's actually something we've been looking at over the last month or so. We've got an analysis that we're just finishing up, and it's not public yet, so I can't report all the numbers, but on housing affordability in Rapid City. And in broad strokes, I can tell you, yeah, Rapid City, the anecdotal evidence is there. It's housing costs are a little higher than they are in some areas, higher than they are in Sioux Falls, for example. And part of that problem is the dependency, and I'm not, you know, surprising anyone with this, but Rapid City economy is very dependent on tourism and service sector. And, you know, wages for those jobs are just, they're a little bit lower, right? And that exacerbates that sort of feeling of unaffordability. But one of the things that we are seeing is that it's moving in the right direction. So over the last 10 years, housing affordability in Rapid City has improved. And affordability is actually improving. So in sort of the amount of money that people are spending on housing in Rapid City as a fraction of their annual income, it's dropping faster in Rapid City than it is in like Sioux Falls, for example. So it's actually moving in the right direction, and that's for workers in the service sector, that's for accountants, nurses, everyone.
What's driving that?
Well, it's a combination of wage growth, so earnings are increasing, incomes are increasing, and a lower than average increase in housing prices is what we're seeing.
What happens next? We've got about a minute and a half left, so I'm wondering, is some of those foundational systems that, you know, help that organic development, what other things need to be in place and sort of nudged in the right direction, not over manipulated?
Well, that's you know, too big of a question for a minute.
I think that's awful of me. Sorry.
Well, that's fine. That's the question everyone wants the answer to. I think the most important thing is to identify issues that you want to tackle and then to look at them carefully and analytically and approach each question on its own basis.
We hope that you will come back frequently and have some of those specific conversations, especially when you have new data to share. Is that something that you're willing to do with us here, hopefully?
I'd love to, and I would like to invite everyone out. Go check out our Facebook page, Black Hills Knowledge Network on Facebook. We've got an event next week where we're bringing in a speaker, Lee Rainey from the Pew Research Center, and he's going to be talking about sort of fake news and the information age and the future of the internet. And that's a great topic I think a lot of people would be interested in.
All right. Jared McIntaffer is an economist with South Dakota Dashboard and Black Hills Knowledge Network. Thanks so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure.